I'll just repeat the question. How does spiritual warfare fit into this? When I say just ignore it, is that spiritual warfare? Well, I believe there's... Okay, we put on the armor of God. But you remember, the armor is all defensive. Except for the sword of the Spirit is offensive. But a helmet is defensive, okay? And it says, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. And it also, where am I thinking? It says, the peace of God will rule your, will rule your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, your peace of God is like a watchdog that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ. It's the peace that guards our hearts and minds. It's not our hearts and minds that guard the peace. Okay, the peace of God guards my heart and mind. Isn't that reassuring? And so I think there are different strategies. So if I am minding my own business, I'm doing whatever I'm doing, and a thought comes pinging in, and you want to think of it like tennis, I need to hit the ball out, not let it just sit in my on my side of the court, on the ground. My responsibility is to hit it out. Now that might require a scripture to remind yourself, but I'm just saying when it comes to trying to get in a conversation with the devil, if he says, what if your kids are in a car wreck? Well, you can either just say, well, what if they're not? And go your merry way. In other words, I think that's spiritual warfare. Okay, I don't have to drop everything and say, let me have a big powwow with you. It's like, no, I'm just moving on. I'm moving on. There are other things that might require a lot more effort. But I think especially if we have let worry, if we've made room for worry in our lives, it's going to take a lot of work. But it's a mental, it truly is a mental and spiritual exercise. And of course, the armor of God, the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of, you know, this is what we are in all the time. We put it on. We put on Christ. And so you just say, I am in Christ. Leave me alone. I'm not going to engage in a conversation with you. So I find with worry, that works far better than having a conversation. Let's sit down and discuss it. No, I am not talking to you. So I'm not ignoring spiritual warfare. I just think this is the most effective way to fight that particular temptation. Now, there are other temptations, which I didn't address today, which might require different sorts of ways to combat. But I think with worry, another example, we went to England to visit our kids, and we were on the ground there with them, living their life, seeing what they're doing, the roads they're driving on, and the car they're in, and it's like, oh my goodness, so glad I didn't know about all this. And Lord, thank you. You just have kept me not knowing what's going on. It's lovely, you know. And they had, one part of the time they lived there, they're in kind of a rough neighborhood, you know. And so anyway, I think amen to spiritual warfare and putting on the armor every day, you know, mentally thinking about it. And help me to have, and see, I think, the shield of faith and the darts of the evil one, I think that whole worry thing, that's a dart. It's like a thought comes in. It's a dart. And get your shield of faith up and say, I don't have to talk to you. You know, that was just a dart. But if we let it come in, like this passage, you give way to fear, it's letting the dart penetrate. Okay, so, is that answering your question? All right, there are other temptations, I will grant, that may require a different strategy. I also think, if I can use one more illustration, we all have habits of mind. This is just the way we do it. And so you think, okay, I am not going to have these conversations anymore. I'm going to set my mind on things above every time. And so you start doing this every day, all day long. It seems like that's all you're doing. And you feel so beat up. And you might feel like this is the worst day you ever had, and it's actually the most victorious day you've ever had because you set your mind all day long on things above. And fresh temptations came, but you put it back. And it seems like you feel so beat up, you think you lost, when you actually won. But I think of it with mental habits. If we've just been indulging bad mental habits, which are spiritual habits, then it's very hard. It's like, okay, are you a nail biter? Well, how are you going to quit? It takes a lot of concentration, right? and a lot of set your hands somewhere else. And I think of it like if you have a yard, a grassy lawn, and everybody's cutting across it, taking the shortcut. I have a flower bed. My grandkids kept climbing through, and pretty soon it was pretty wasted. So I put a little fence up, just a little teeny, you know, just one of those little wire fences, like, don't come this way. And so they go, and then they have to stop and go the long way around, right? That's kind of what it's like. Our mental habits have made it cut a path through the lawn. They've just cut a path. And in order to restore that section and get it back to health, we have to put up a little fence or little reminders. And it just is a pain at first, right? Go the long way. No, nope, can't go that way. I have to go this way. But after a while, it becomes habit. And we get used to it. And it's a spiritual discipline. And we just, that path gets, it disappears after a lot of patient working on it, because Scripture is full of admonitions to be diligent, to pursue. It's not to just coast into heaven. We're supposed to be actually working hard at our own spiritual development. Okay, so think of that path and the mental habits that you want to change. Put up some little reminders and go the long way. Any other questions on this or anything else? Oh, come on, ladies. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. Okay. This is a question about our Sabbath dinner celebration, which I'm delighted to address. So we celebrate the Lord's Day with a Saturday night kickoff dinner. And our family's been doing it, I was thinking, for, I think, 18 years. We started doing it because was convicted we should be celebrating the Sabbath with a feast every week. And so there were just six of us because Becca was engaged. So my children were high school, college, and we had Ben, who was Becca's fiancé. So six of us sitting down to dinner, ladies. Pretty easy, right? Make a nice dinner. I could even use our china if I wanted. You know, I mean, think of that. I haven't done that in a mighty long time. So gradually, the babies started coming, and my other two got married, and more babies started. You know, I mean, it was gradual. It was over 18 years. So now I'm cooking for 30 every Saturday, really about 30 people. And my house is not big enough. And I've thought many times, wouldn't it be lovely to have a room where the table is just always there, and it's 50 could sit down? Wouldn't that be nice? But I also am grateful because my kids can never say, well, we can't have Sabbath dinner because we don't have a big house. Because Mom and Dad have done it for years, and there's way too many of us to fit in here. But we just keep doing it. In the summer, we move outside. And then fall comes, and I think, Lord, I can't do this. I don't remember how we all got in there. I don't know. It's not going to work. But it does. It always works. But anyway, for us, it is a get-to. It is not a have-to. It's an overflow of joy, okay? And Doug has written a little liturgy for the grandkids. They answer questions. We always start with a toast. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And the little kids have little glasses of wine, and that's what we do. Now, here's the thing. You all do this every Sunday, right? This is your Sabbath dinner. This is it. So for you to add another one, like Nancy came to town and said, ladies, you must all do this Saturday night too. You know, that would not be a get-to, that would be a have-to, wouldn't it? And it would be guilt, or those of you who are smart enough or wise enough to say, get lost, you know, tell me to get lost. But my point is, you've got one here. So I would just say, use this. I mean, use this. You have an amazing thing going. It doesn't mean you're forbidden. I mean, do what you want. We do it Saturday night because my husband's a pastor. And for him, it's the kickoff. And Sunday's a working day. So to have a big feast Sunday after church would wipe him out. He wants to put his feet up and just relax. So it's not that you have to have a Saturday dinner. It's just celebrating the Lord's Day, whenever that might be. So for us, it has meant far more than I ever anticipated. Okay? And just like for you all, I'm sure this has meant far more to everyone than you ever expected. and it will just get better and sweeter. And as you women put your minds to it, like, how can we make this even sweeter? What could we do, you know, without imposing on everyone or, and of course, going through proper channels? Our Sabbath dinner was Doug's idea. And we, in fact, when we're gone, like we were yesterday, we were here, Doug called my son last night and he said, well, we're all here out in your front yard. They gather. When we're not there, they gather usually at our house and have Sabbath dinner without us. And we just keep going. If someone can't come, we just keep going. We just have it. So, does that answer your question? Do you want more specific details? Right. Okay. Right. Well, again, we do not have this at our church. We don't have a Sunday big dinner. So that's why I say you all are our Sabbath dinner on steroids. I mean, you know, you're this is far bigger. Oh, do I? Like, oh, okay, shoot, that's what it is. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. She just wants to know nuts and bolts. How do I do it? Well, if you had told me 18 years ago, like, okay, you're going to be cooking for 30 every Saturday night, I wouldn't have believed you, for one thing. But, so it's been very, very gradual. So what do I do? Well, I pick a menu sometime. Sometimes I don't know what I'm fixing Saturday. I have no idea. I'm just going to go figure it out. I have some favorite cookbooks. One is called Perfect Recipes for Having People Over. And I find a recipe that I can quadruple. So it could be a very simple recipe, but I have to make so much quantity, it can take some time. And so I look at how much time do I have today? What do I feel like cooking? And we divide up because my house isn't big enough. We bought a big Sabbath table when we started doing this that will seat 23, but we outgrew it. And it's very difficult. We have to move furniture and to make it fit. So we put, right now, we've done it many, many different ways. This is how we're doing it right now, besides being out in the front yard, which is like that's my ideal dining room, is the front yard. But we put 12 of the younger grandkids at the dining room table. And then the big kids, because we just can't put teenage grandkids at the kid table. You know, I mean, seriously. So we put a smaller table in the library, and that's where they sit. There's going to be 6 in there now. And then the adults just buffet it, and we sit in the living room on chairs and the hearth and whatever we can drag in there. And if I have 18 adults, it gets really tricky to fit them in there, and I'll pull in bar stools. I mean, that's what we do. It's not, and China, are you serious? I mean, I do use plates, real plates. I bought a lot of buffet plates from Crate and Barrel or someplace, you know, just white buffet plates. And my granddaughters will come over and help me do setup. And they've learned how to wrap the silverware in the napkin. And I love cloth napkins, so we do cloth napkins. But they'll wrap them. And then at the end of the buffet line are just grab it for the adults. The kids, we can set their tables. And I have all kinds of little wine glasses. Many get broken. And lots of forks get lost. And spoons go missing. And things break. It doesn't matter. I mean, really. And I'm not, I can't possibly have china and crystal for a mob like that. And who wants it? You know, I mean. So I do most of the food prep. One of my daughters took dibbies on dessert, so she's just a dessert girl, and I don't have to think about dessert. It may be ice cream sandwiches, I don't care, whatever. And then sometimes she'll make cream puffs. I mean, it's one or the other. It's wonderful. Others will help and just text me, what do you need, what can I bring today, or, you know, so it all happens. And I'm training grandkids. It's really nice. The granddaughters, like I say, love to come help me on the setup. And they love to help serve, and I'm training them on how to do some of the cleanup with me in there as well. The boys will set up tables and break down tables. You know, it's a... But honestly, to be very truthful, sometimes Sunday morning it's still a complete disaster. And I just think, it can wait, I'll get to it. You know, but Other weeks we can get it all put away, and it just depends. Does that answer your question? So we have our toast. Doug has he has started writing a little homily each week to deliver to the children about loyalty and family and competition and cousin. You know, there's all these cousins. And I told him if he does this, it will be a book sometime. You know, I mean, and then he asks questions, and there's just a little family liturgy that might change as time goes by. And Yes. So we put the 12 at the table, and we all gather around, and it's very tight. When we built our house, we thought it was enormous. And but like I said, there were just 5 of us, so it was enormous. But it isn't anymore. So, we all sort of crowd in. Doug's dad is there. He's in a wheelchair. My son-in-law's mom comes regularly. We have 4 college girls who live with us, so they're there during the school year. And then just assorted guests and people. So it's, and I, on the, for the buffet, I usually slip in a couple of plates extra because I could have forgotten somebody. And a couple more sets of silverware, you never know, you know. And I put the beverages on a buffet. They can go get their own, the adults. We try to get the kids' table. The parents will help me do this. And we just walk around and load all their plates before they come in, if possible. So when they're sitting down and we're toasting and doing all that, they're ready to eat. Well, I think I had better wrap it up. But thank you so much, ladies, and blessings on all your labors. And it's been a joy to be with you. So thank you very much.